Proximity. That's the Epistle of Timothy, chapter 3. This wonderful of the Spanish Wells. I've never been in a Bohemian blizzard before. Oh, it's rather nice. A little cooler. Rather refreshing, and we enjoy it. You folks don't know what bad weather is in a real one sense. I've seen blizzards up north, gusts 100 miles an hour, take the roof right off the barns, and you couldn't see hardly 1 foot ahead because of the snow blowing and snowing so heavy. Sometimes you wouldn't get on the road. I remember once we didn't get out on the road for a whole week. One storm came, they just got the road open, and then another one came and filled it all in again, made it worse than ever. It's quite a problem. So you don't have any snow to worry about. And I don't need any more either, as we are now in Florida in the winter time because of our help, and we're very thankful for the Lord's provision. Now tonight I want to speak about overseers or under-shepherds or elders, whatever you like to call it. And I want to speak tonight about the definition, the need for elders, qualifications, their recognition and treatment by the assembly, and their work, and their designation, if you like, or what are some of the characteristics, and then lastly, their reward. I also want to give a little word of encouragement. Because it says right here, in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 3, this is the true saying, if any man desire the office of a bishop, he desire a good work. Now, William Kelly translated literally from the Greek, and he translated like this, this is a faithful saying, if any man desire the work of an overseer, not an office, it's work. He desired a good work. If any man, I want you to underline that, is open to any man who has a heart for God and a heart for his people. And the great secret, of course, is the love for the Lord Jesus that we're thinking about tonight. Because if we love him, we love his people as well. Now then, a bishop, an overseer, the word should be translated overseer, then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruled well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. More, he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. May the Lord add his blessing to this portion of his word. We'll be referring to many scriptures. So I want you to be ready to turn, because there's a lot of scriptures on this subject. Now, first, definition. We need to distinguish between the New Testament under shepherd and the modern idea. The modern idea I was brought up was a minister over the church. Sometimes he's called in the more ritual church, he's even called father. Sometimes, of course, we usually all call reverend, and pastor, minister, different words like that. But that's not what the New Testament talking about in that sense. You find all the letters written by the apostles were written to the saints, not to the pastor and his people. That's what they do in modern language. They write to the past and its people. But that wasn't known then. There was always a plurality of elders. Paul wrote to the Philippians. He wrote to the saints at Philippi with the bishops, plural, and the deacons, plural. There's a double thing. Some churches have one pastor and several deacons. Some churches have one teaching elder and then a group of other elders. But the New Testament seems to set forth as a plurality both of elders and of deacons. The elders seem to be responsible particularly for the spiritual care and welfare of the flock. And the deacons, they were more, if they were deacons in Acts 6, to look after many of the other things. But all of them had to have very high qualifications. They were not a class of mediating people like you have in some churches. I know some churches, even the church I was brought up in Canada, the only one that knows how to preach or pray is the minister, and mostly he doesn't even know how to either. If you caught him without his prayer book, he'd be at a great loss. I tell you, we had a minister one time visit our home, and we asked him to give thanks, and he was embarrassed, and he asked his little girls to say some little child rhymes to thank God for the food. You know, he couldn't do it. And they have to sort of have all that education. I remember one time preaching in the open air, and an old Presbyterian came up to me. Man, he's a great preacher. He says, we got a young preacher over there, and we pay him so many thousands a year. And he had to read all his sermon. He's not even a good reader. That was it. So that's many times the case. So you'll notice too that the word bishop, we said, was overseer. I want to just show you from the Word of God, these are the same, all these refer to the same man. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17, Paul sends there in verse 17, for the elders at Ephesus. They called them elders. Then when he addresses them in verse 20, he said, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock, all the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers. Some think that translated bishop. So elder refers to the same man as overseer, overseer the same man as elder. And then in Titus chapter 1, verses 5 and verses 7. Good for you to mark these verses. Be acquainted with the Word of God. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city. Then in verse 7 he says, for a bishop must be blameless, referring to the same man. And again, it should have been translated overseer. An overseer then must then be blamed as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, and so on. Given, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. He couldn't be in it for money. Elders, I would say, denote the maturity, oversight, or overseer denotes their work. Just like the shepherds were watching over the flock the night the Lord Jesus was born, so the elders oversee and watch over the welfare of the spiritual flock, God's people. Now secondly, their needs. You know, in the days of the judges. And let me also just say this, an assembly is not a democracy. Many churches rule by the majority. They take a vote, and whoever has the majority, that goes. Doesn't matter what the Word of God says. God's Word says you to have spiritual guides and men that are godly, who love the Lord, who know the Word, who teach and instruct the people of God. It's not a democracy. It's more of a theocracy. The great shepherd, and then the under-shepherd unto him. In the day of Judges, when there was no king in Israel, the book of Judges ended, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes, so there was a terrible state of affairs. When there's no one doing shepherd work, things fall apart. I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel 34 and verse 4. Just read one verse from the nakedest standpoint. What these elders or these pastors, these shepherds failed to do. It says in Ezekiel 34 verse 4, the deceased have you not strengthened? Neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. This is what elders should not do. This is what they failed to do. And if there's none to do it, you can see the need. Then it positively stated, when God was using Paul in the pioneer work of establishing new assemblies, if you read Acts 14:23, you read this in Acts 14:23, he says this, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So they didn't leave them just stranded with anybody to look after them. They saw the men whom God was raising up as shepherds, and they put them in their place. It's not just sort of every day does what he likes. That's very wrong. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles and gifts of healing helps governments. There's governments among people of God. Paul writes to Timothy, he may know how he should behave in the house of God. He's not talking about the building, he's talking about the people of God in the house of God. And we have all these instructions, but we'll get more to that. Thirdly, I want to speak quickly on their qualifications that we read here in Timothy. There are two questions I think we need to ask. Does he do the work of an overseer? Sometimes we take and recognize the man. I think that's a good man. He got his house in order and other things that recognize him. But does he do the work? In other words, does he have the heart of the shepherd? One thing that marks a good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, says John. A thing that should mark shepherds is the love for the sheep. You cannot be an elder without that love. Being an elder isn't just somebody that's in control and running the thing. No, no, my friend. The Lord does it the very opposite. The one that's least among you, he shall be your master. He'll be the one that should be guiding and leading. The Lord does it altogether different than we do. And secondly, does he have the spiritual qualification? Number one, what about his position in the home? How does that stack up? 1 Timothy 3, verse 2. An overseer then must be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to cheat, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Now that's what the word speaks about. Having a man as the head of his house. And you, dear wives, can be a great help in that connection. If you seek to run your husband, you disqualify him from being an elder. That's important to know. And then, of course, he must have his children control, that they're obedient. while they're under his roof. And they leave home, then he's given them all the training he can. And while they're home, while they're under his roof, then they should be under his control. Secondly, his public light. Verse 7 of 1 Timothy. More, he must have a good report of them that are without. And you have the same in Titus chapter 1 and verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. That is, having a testimony above reproach. A good testimony to the world. A testimony of integrity, of honesty. Someone you can depend on. And then as to his personal life, you have it in verse 2 and 3 here in 1 Timothy 3. You must be blameless, good behavior, apt to teach, not given to wine, not a fighter, a striker, not greedy of money. That shouldn't be his great love. His great love, you know, real elders, many times they miss out on making a lot of big money because they spend time in the Word of God and they spend time shepherding the people. It costs something as far as this world is concerned, but they're laying up treasures in heaven. When the chief shepherds shall come, they'll get their reward. But I know men that have refrained from taking higher positions and other things, refrained from making more money, so they could spend time with in the Word, with the Lord, and take time with God's people. That's the real shepherd's heart. They put that before making money, other things. We're living in such a materialistic age that we need to be very careful. And then his perception of divine revelation. If you turn to Titus chapter 1, you notice it's very, very important. It says in Timothy he's apt to teach, at least on an individual basis. And then in Titus chapter 1, verse 9, holding the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may by sound doctrine both exhort and convince the gainsayers. He has to be able to defend the flock and protect the flock from false teaching. For the many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially there's the circumcision. And so on, he goes on to speak about that. And that's why an elder need to be well instructed in the scriptures. Paul said after my departure, remember when he talked to the elders at Ephesus and how he had served the Lord with many tears and all that he prayed before that 20. And then he said, after my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in, some coming up from among you, not sparing the flock. And you elders need to be well grounded in the scripture so you can look after and protect God's people from false doctrine and bad teaching and so forth. So much for their qualification. Now their recognition and the treatment by the assembly. Now if you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, there you'll see some couple of things. First, it says they're over you in the Lord. Now, although we in the assemblies, we don't put a man up on a pinnacle like they do in some of the churches. I remember when I grew up, you know, the young people, they would be in the room and they'd be telling smutty stories. And every minister walk in, you wouldn't think butter could melt in their mouth. They were such good little fellows, you know. And we went out against the same thing. The man would put up on a pinnacle. They said, God. But in the assemblies, we're apt to go the other extreme and just treat them just in like any other Joe. Now listen, you'll see here what the word says about it. They're over you in the Lord, it says here in 1 Thessalonians 12. I beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Secondly, they have a right to admonish you. And admonish you. That means they have a right to correct something that's not proper, that's hurting the testimony of the assembly. They have a right to correct you on that. You don't go off in a huff and get mad, but I thank God there's some men that have the care and the, of God's holy name and the testimony at heart and want to protect it. Very important. And then in verse 13, to esteem them very highly. Notice the language. They're to be esteemed very highly. Why? For their work's sake. And it's to be in love. You notice that? I'm just putting up with them. To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. That's how we're to treat them and think of them. To honor them. We'll see that in 1 Timothy. Then in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15 and 16, they're to be submitted to. I beseech you, brethren, he says in verse 15, you know the house of Stephanas, that is first fruit of Achaia, and that have addicted themselves, that's a good addiction, to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such. That's what it says. And to everyone that helpeth without and labored. So there's a place of submission, just like in the home. And then, of course, there to be known, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, I beseech you, brethren, to know them. My sheep know my voice, said the Lord Jesus. We know the good shepherd, and we should know the shepherd. Paul knew who to send for at Ephesus. They knew who to come when they sent for the elders. It wasn't unknown to them. And then they are to be honored. Look at 1 Timothy 5:17. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. This is what the scripture says, isn't it? Especially they who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth up the corn and the labors worthy of its reward. So they are to be highly honored, especially if they labor in word and doctrine. And then they sometimes are to be supported. I knew a real good man up there in North Scotia. He had the assembly at heart. And he was a salesman, but he took so much of his time to help the Christians and minister to them so on that the assembly, they started giving him some fellowship because he was cutting down on his income just to help the assembly. And they honored him and they fellowshiped with him so he could have enough to feed his family. That's the right thing to do. Those are men that were looking after the flock and laboring in the word and in doctrine at the same time, although he was a businessman. And then it says in 1 Timothy 5:1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father and the younger men as brethren. Now sometimes some say that's just an older person. But if it refers to an older person anyway, certainly refer the same respect should be given to an elder, not to rebuke them, but rather treat them with respect. And then it also says they're not to be accused in verse 19 of chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Don't charge him with something and let your two or three witnesses to bring with you. And then, of course, we need to do it in the right spirit, not with the idea that, boy, we'll get him down now and get him out of commission, but rather with a view of helping him. If any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which is spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Elders only men. And they'll have their failings, they'll have their faults. But thank God they have a love for the Lord and a love for His people. And they need to be encouraged and helped and esteemed, as the scripture says. And then in Hebrews chapter 13:7, it says there, they're to be remembered as an example of steadfastness. You see, one thing that should mark elders is steadfastness. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of the life, or the manner of life, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That's steadfastness. That's unchangeableness, isn't it? That's a great quality in any person, by the grace of God, to be a steadfast Christian that's going on consistently. Like Paul could say at the end of his life, I fought a good fight, I kept the faith. Henceforth is a crown laid up for me. Oh, that's so important. There's nothing more satisfying and helpful to see a person that's completely faithful and steadfast down through the years. Always faithfully serving the Lord. My, those kind of people, you know, you can go to them. They're trustworthy. And that's, saying an elder should not be accused for two or three witnesses. In other words, he should be trustworthy. And we're to live in such a way we are trustworthy, those that are doing the work of overseers. And then, they're to be obeyed, it says in Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, and that's the same thing as the shepherd the night the Lord was born. They were watching, and they watch for your souls, and they that must give account. Who did they have to give account to? The chief shepherd. Elders have to give account of how they serve the Lord to the chief shepherd. It's a great responsibility. And being an elder in a local assembly, it's not always the glory that goes with it. Like the visiting preachers, they get all the special meals and invitations and all these other things. But a local elder, he's just taken for granted many times. Brethren, we need to be careful that we don't put above a pinnacle, but that we treat him the way God's word says he should. And they're to be prayed for. Pray for us, says Paul. And elders need your prayers. Pray for them every day. It's a very, very important work. And then they're to be saluted when greetings are sent. Paul said, Paul, the writer of Hebrews, salute them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They officially salute you. So he remembered the elders among the people of God to greet them, to salute them. Now I want to speak a little bit about their work. One night, you know, when I was planning these messages, I was thinking those several nights. But I find it's only tonight this week, and next week there's no night during the week. And I didn't know about that, so I'm putting a lot into the message tonight in the sense of cramming a bit, because I was going to give this over two messages and give a lot more detail. Number one, you should know the sheep. You don't know, you're not close to them, you don't know their needs, you can't help them. The good shepherd, he knoweth his sheep. Remember, in John chapter 10, it's not only we know them, but they're to know the believers, they're to know the sheep. And then he's to love the sheep. The good shepherd loves the sheep, and he lays his life down for them. And a man will put himself out. Get up any time of the night to do anything to help the flock. That's an elder's art. That's a shepherd's art. Those are the two backgrounds for the others. Then, of course, he's responsible to feed the sheep. Remember the Lord Jesus with Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. There's one thing about sheep that can turn aside so quickly. And there's something about certain Christians all of a sudden turn aside. And either they expose what sometimes, and the sad thing, sometimes others follow them. Shepherds have to be on the watch to not only feed them, but taking the oversight, as it says in Acts 20, watching over them. And then he's to lead them, to guide them. In Psalm 78, verse 71, 72, the relationship to David. You know, David was a good shepherd, but he first said, the Lord is my shepherd. And David said, he leadeth me. And now it says about David in Psalm 78, verse 71, from following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. He was a good shepherd, David. Now, Jacob was a good shepherd, too. He says we can't go too fast. Some of the young ones can't keep up. We have to go slowly. And that's why it speaks about elders that have to have patience. It takes a lot of patience. Some people are much slower to learn than others. You need to be patient with God's people and not take and rip them and throw them around. You know, that's not the way to treat sheep. And then, he watches all the sheep, as we've already said. And that watching over, taking the oversight in 1 Peter is translated in the book of Hebrews. And it's translated like this in Hebrews 12, 15, looking diligently. As we said, they need careful watching. They can soon get away on you. They threw a hole in the fence and they're gone and others are with them. Then, of course, he's to protect the flock. The hireling fleeth, said the Lord Jesus, but not the good shepherd. And David was like that good shepherd, you remember, when the lion and the bear came. He took and he slew the lion, he slew the bear. The good shepherd. He didn't run. He protected the sheep. And then another ministry. It's the restoring of the sheep back to the fellowship. Very difficult. All discipline is, of course, with a view to restoration, to restore them. Why we discipline our children is to help them to go straight. To show them we care, we love for them. And that's the same in the assembly. And elders, just give the time to that. Remember back in Ezekiel, the verse 4, I read to you in 34 Ezekiel, they didn't restore the lame and the sick and so forth. That's what they failed to do. A good shepherd needs to be looking out for restoring those that are wandered. And that's another very important thing that the good elders do, and that's hospitality. In Titus it says the elder to be a lover of hospitality. In the assembly I know, that one fellow said to me, who are the elders here anyway? We need to get some elders. I said, can you show me one man in this assembly that's given to hospitality? Didn't know of one. That's one thing that the qualification. I thank God for those godly brethren in England that took us home. And share the meager rations with us and minister the word of God to our soul so we could grow in grace and learn some of these wonderful principles from the word of God. Thank God for those that will give themselves to hospitality. It's a bit of work, but it's a great work. be given. And Roman quiz speaks about giving to hospitality. There it means to pursue it. Like an innkeeper pursues his business. Oh, you pursue hospitality. Use your home for the Lord. And while your wife is cooking and doing things, you minister the word to the people you're entertaining. The great ministry. Now then, elders are men that are shepherds that care for the flock. This is my little review here. Overseers to watch over the flock. Guides to lead the flock. Laborers to toil in it so they can instruct the flock. Examples to be models. That's what Peter speaks about. Being an example to the flock. That's so important. Setting that godly example. People can understand an example, you know. First Peter chapter 5. It says verse 3, neither being lords or God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Beautiful. And then in verse 5 he says, likewise ye younger submit yourself unto the elder, ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with, or be girt with the apron of humility. Like the Lord Jesus, he girded himself, you remember, with the slave's apron, and he washed his disciples' feet. He took the lowly place. That's real shepherd work. He says, don't you be like the Gentiles that take the big place. He says, you take the little place and serve one another in love. Take the lowly place. I'll bring you up. God's ways are so different than ours. It's so hard for us to learn that, isn't it? We want to put ourselves up. The Lord says, you let me do it. You take the lowly place and I'll look after you coming up. He that exalted himself shall be abased, but he that takes the lowly and obeys himself, he shall be exalted. And the Lord, he knows how to do that. We're to have the mind of Christ. Yes, clothed with humility. I think that's a beautiful verse. And then lastly, the elder's reward. 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory. What a crown it's going to be. And that crown of glory that faded not away. It'll never lose its luster. It'll never lose its value. You labored with that which was dearest to God's heart. You labor with the people that the Lord Jesus shed his blood for. You spent your life to help them and to minister to them and to help them to make a good showing down here so they'll get a rich reward at the judgment seat of Christ. And God appreciates that. The Lord Jesus appreciates that. And he came to give the faithful elders a crown of glory that never fade away. Brother, your glory down here is really limited. But he's going to see everything he's going to put right. So let's keep on for him faithfully, not looking to man, but looking to the Lord. And may all who are God's people also treat the elders as God's word says so, and encourage them and pray for them and help them. And may the elders continue to go on more and more faithfully, seeking to serve the Lord and serving his people. In all humility and love. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight. Maybe just by our time is gone for us on a word of prayer. Father, we thank thee for thy holy word. What do we do without it? Thank thee for the clear instruction we have for every area of life. And as thou said in thy word, thou hast given us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
May we avail ourselves of all thou hast provided for us. May we indeed live to the fullest for the glory of God and the blessing of others. Bless thy dear people here. Bless every home represented. Bless those who could not be here. Bless the sick, the ailing, the aged. We commend them to you. Just thank you for the time together tonight. Dismiss us now with thy rich blessing, we pray, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus.